Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It is May the 23rd, 2013. And so today we are going to be talking about slumps and getting through performance slumps, injuries, and burnout. And also, I just wanted to remind you that would like to do an interview with each of you to be able to promote you with what's called Google Hangouts, which is like a Skype call, video interview, video conference, but even better, it's got great reception and great, it's just really good because you can record it right onto YouTube and then send you the link there. You can put it on your website or wherever you'd like to promote you, and I'll put it on my website as well to get your name out there. So if you want to just call, let me know, send an email, and let me know when is a good time for you, for each of you, then I will schedule that. It just takes about 5 or 10 minutes, and I send you instructions on how to get set up for Google Hangouts, and then you, which is a video call, and it's all free, and then you can, we'll just do the call, and then you'll have this tool, this new resource, this new skill, so that you can do video conferencing, with your athletes and with your people that you'd like to work with as well, and you can use it for webinars and all kinds of things. It's just a great tool, so I'm using it a lot more. I've interviewed about 7 or 8 of you now, and so everyone's and I try to bring out your own strengths and what's unique to you, what you bring to the to your coaching and to your athletes. So it's a great promotion for you. So just let me know what time, any time that you'd like to do that. And in the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks here, it's great. Let me just ask for questions and thoughts. I know, Amy, you're on the call. Any new, give kind of feedback as to what you're doing now?
I've been away the last 2 weeks. It's been really crazy. I was in England and got back and then went to New Orleans, so my last couple weeks have been crazy, but I did have a meeting before I went away with someone who is in charge of, it's called Legacy, and it was started by Arthur Ashe, and it's a great facility near me, and it started mostly as a tennis facility for inner city kids. And it's turned into a great program with mentoring and leadership programs and all types of different educational things. So I met with the head person of the leadership program, and he's interested in having me coordinate with him and do some things with the kids where I could do life skills plus they're tennis players.
Okay.
So I'm kind of excited about that, but that would be kind of a leadership edge to it, combined with the tennis. So I'm thinking about different ways that I can learn more about leadership programs for kids and things like that.
Yeah.
And kind of use, the stuff that I've learned with you and try to coordinate all different things.
Yeah, because the Performing Edge Coaching, the book and the all the skills in this program are all oriented towards leadership, I think, and confidence and being able to grow within yourself and be a leader to others too. So that would be fantastic. Yeah. So they want they want to get you involved with that.
Yeah. So I'm going to meet with him and with the head, the person who runs the program, to see if we can come up with something to get me involved in the program, which would really be
fun
for me.
Yeah, especially since it involves tennis. And
It's a nice combination of being able to work with kids and they happen to be tennis players.
Yeah, sure. Maybe you could do something with confidence building building leaders and how tennis can be kind of like a metaphor for life too. winning, that winning attitude is a great way to help to be, a great tennis player and a great, great leader in many aspects of life for sure. So that's great. Yeah, I just heard a ding earlier. Did someone else new come on?
It's TJ.
Well, hi, TJ. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How's everybody?
Good. Yeah, that's great. So you're, he said you were really interested in the area of slumps and all. Yeah. Are you, TJ, what kinds of things are you doing right now? Do you want to check in with any success stories or any questions?
I've actually just been kind of keeping on doing the same stuff. So nothing really to report for the last 2 weeks, but I am really interested in, you had mentioned in the email about how to check for signs that someone is heading into a slump, and I think that seems like it's really important to be able to keep people from getting to a bad place. Like, we've talked about how to get them a little bit, how to get them out of a bad place, but I would love to know how to stop them from getting there in the first place. It's like with getting injured. Like, how do you keep somebody healthy until they get, because you don't want them to get injured, because then it's just a longer road back. And it seems like it would be the same to me with the mental stuff. Like, the deeper the slump, the longer and harder it is to get out of it.
Right.
Is that right? Would you say that?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Prevention is really great. It's really important. With you working with marathon runners and runners in general?
Yep. And really just people, you know, I think you had mentioned something about in your professional life too, like people start to get really stressed out at work and things start to kind of go wrong, and then, you know, before you know it, they're in this kind of pit. So
yeah.
I think it's good, you know, not for just the athletic part of us, but for, you know, the other part, the sort of work and life stress kind of things.
Yeah. I think with the personal part, yeah, since you mentioned that too, the professional part, I think, when performance, when it declines in any area of our life, we try to force ourselves back to our previous, kind of output level. But, business people, we work long hours, even more, usually when you're in a slump, you try to work more hours, and athletes try to train even harder, and it leads to more worry and tension and pressure. And often people unconsciously intensify their frustration, so it lasts longer. And I think the way to, prevent a slump and to turn around a slump is to, some suggestions are just to slow down and be aware of what's happening in your life, kind of take assessment, and to close your eyes and take in some deep breaths and, listen to your own natural rhythms and get back in touch with your, your true self. Pay attention to your own energy level. And so sometimes it's good if you see yourself going into a slump, rather than resisting it, just think of it as a valuable warning signal, a message, something's out of balance and needs changing. And so go with your intention, what your intention is telling you. And, I'd say to people that not to fight your way through a plateau or slump, but just relax through it and, be gentle with yourself. I think that's one of the biggest advice that I give to people is to be kind to yourself, be gentle, and open up to the opportunity of learning and trust that in time things will turn around. So, some of the tips for professional people for rising out of a slump is, like, if you're, with tiredness, if you're feeling fatigue, I'd say if you're feeling physically or mentally tired, avoid fighting your body's messages. But instead of, most of us try to, stay awake with sugar or coffee, or take, instead of, the drugs like that to stay awake, and it's better to take a short relaxation nap or break and yield to the tiredness and, give your body the rest it needs. So I think, it kind of like a power nap, Yeah. Those are really good, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as long as you don't nap for, you know, an hour or a couple hours kind of thing, which can lead to, you know, getting really, getting more depressed. You want to just take a shorter nap, and you'll feel renewed energy that can last throughout the day and bring your body into proper balance.
Joanne, what do you say to people who say, well, yeah, I'm getting a little tired, but, you know, maybe it's because I'm not training right, or, you know, I just need to get my, I just need to increase my, you know, my strength, and they just keep working and working, thinking that they can work through this fatigue and stuff. What would you say? Because I see a lot of people like that. They, you know, they just keep pushing, thinking that, well, you know, I just need one more day of a really good workout, and that's going to fix everything.
Yeah, I think it's, I know exactly what you mean. It's so, like the athletes like that. And I think it's, if you can, sometimes, as much as athletes resist it, I think a break is really a good thing. But it doesn't have to be, there's many ways to take a break. You don't have to, it doesn't mean, you know, stopping running altogether for a long time. But you could take, you know, just by taking a couple days off, you know, sometimes can make a huge difference.
Yeah,
yeah, and do something different, like swimming or biking. They do another sport. And do it, you know, non-competitively, so you're just out there for fun and just or keeping up your fitness, but not killing yourself. And it's amazing how just changing the rhythm of what you're doing, getting out of that same old routine, can make a big difference, I think. And that, like you said, more is not better necessarily.
Right, yeah. But we think that it is. I mean, that's the athlete's mind, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it's sometimes, yeah, I think rest is rest is best there, or just changing the pattern of what you're doing.
Changing the pattern.
Yeah. Just something else. It's like eating the same thing every day. After a while, you get tired of it, and you don't, you know, it doesn't taste good. You know, changing the foods that you eat. So,
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
well,
that's a good thing, I think, and just and being able to do, and also just you know, sometimes people with running, it tends to be a lonely sport. People run, you know, alone a lot, and so if they can you know, find a group to run with, social net you know, support,
mm-hmm.
that's really a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and just you know, and then kind of keeping in tune with your body, and you know, being able to kind of know when it's time to come back to good to strong training again. I think telling stories to people is good, you know, of other people who do take breaks successfully, like the Kenyans and the you know, the Ethiopians runners. You know, they'll often take a whole month or two off of running, you know, in the wintertime. So, and then they come back and just really kick butt, you know, with the season. And same thing with the track runners, you know, they're really intense in the track season. And then the other time they just take off and don't run at all, or just run easy. So it makes, and then they're able to come back, you know, fresh and do so much more. So the problem with running, like, you know, TJ, you and I know that there's always races, right?
Oh, yeah. That's
year
like
round.
It's
not
season.
Like a season, right?
Yeah.
So, I think it's better to create your own seasons. So, you know, because the races, you could continually race forever, yeah. But if you create your own kind of seasons of, say, okay, well, the, you know, wintertime, depending on where you are, wintertime can be really cold and rainy, so that's a good time to just rest and relax, not run at all, or just do another sport, or just run easy kind of thing. And then in the spring is a good time to build up and maybe this, or do a shorter races, and summer maybe do a race, or, you know, longer races, or fall, you know, and just kind of create, think of it as just like the seasons of the year, the seasons of your workouts.
Right. That seems like it would be a really good thing to do with a client, like to spend an hour just talking about what their upcoming year looks like, you know, personally and work-wise, and then to fit their, you know, to do their season within that, and really address, like, I'm still kind of stuck on the prevention, like, address right away, like, we're doing this so that you're not going to get burned out.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that idea of creating your own kind of seasonal calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a calendar, and then to be flexible with it, too. A lot of people write down, I've seen people write down there what workouts they're going to do every day for the next 6 months. Oh, my gosh. And so if something goes wrong, they spend all this time, you know, with this precise training, especially if they write it in hand, by hand, and if something doesn't work out, then they think, oh, I wrote all this down, so I've got to get back to it.
Yeah.
But they really they don't have to. You don't have to stick to that. If you can create, create just kind of general guidelines, and then fill in maybe week by week. You know what your goals are for training and for specific mileage. Then that can work better, I think, so that you can be flexible and whatever comes up. If your body, because your body might say, hey, I don't want to, progress this fast.
Right.
And then also just, I think another thing that can help with slumps is just create variety in your workouts. Not, go to different places. If people go to do the same, fortunately with running, you can go to, beautiful trails or depending on where you are,
mm-hmm.
have different options and all. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and just you could work out inside at the gym, on a treadmill if it's really bad weather out, or create different kinds of ways of doing it. Make it fun, so that it's you might with track workouts or you can do drills ahead of time and do the grapevines and high knees and kick butts and all that kind of
right.
thing to kind of make it different. So, yeah.
Great, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you were asking also about the kind of the signs when somebody's in a slump, and I think as thinking about the the athlete that's at high risk for injuries or slumps or burnouts, it's often kind of a person that's real high achieving, and they're independent and have a strong need to be in control, and they find it difficult to relax and are sometimes unexpressive emotionally. And I think if you have those kinds, if you have those kinds of personality traits or tendencies, then sometimes athletes are setting themselves up for disappointment. So some of the things to look out for are, constantly chasing goals, like your athlete goals are a way to continually improve yourself, but you're rarely satisfied even when the goals are reached. People are, like you say, TJ, they're constantly moving up and having to always look for something, the next goal, without really taking time to celebrate what the goal is that they just achieved.
Uh-huh.
So
right.
constantly looking toward the next target, but can't enjoy relax and enjoy the journey. So that's one thing. And then obligation is another sign, where you feel like you must compete on a daily basis in your program, regardless of weather conditions or your personal state of health or enjoyment. Training becomes a duty. And that can lead to, what I call tunnel vision, where you tend to, avoid a broad-based lifestyle and with social support and variety of interests, and you have an affirmed sense of self, and you cling to your training as your primary coping mechanism.
Uh-huh.
And running is the only thing that people use to cope, or tennis or whatever sport, and use that exercise to deal with most of life's stresses. And then, of course, when they get injured or burn out, then it creates more stress. So if they can have a more broad style lifestyle with social support and lots of interest, and that can really help, be able to do maybe different. Well, they could do different sports first, because running is tends to be a injury-prone sport. So I think I train, like, even though I don't do triathlons now, I train like a triathlete. You know, swim and bike and run. Just run every other day, and I'll swim and bike on the alternate days. And that seems to work really well and keep me healthy. So, you know, doing something like that and create so that you don't have that tunnel vision, but you've got, you know, broader goals and more of a balance in your life. You know, like that chapter in my book, Creating Balance in Your Life, is a good one to recommend to clients. Yeah, and then that feeling of obligation is another sign of leading into a slump, where you feel like you must complete that daily mileage. You know, it's on my logbook. I got to complete this regardless of the weather or regardless of your personal health or enjoyment. And, you know, training really becomes a duty. So, repetition is another thing, you know, with certain sports. You know, we're always doing the same activity over and over again, week after week. So that's another sign of, you know, kind of going into a slump. If there's little or no variation, then you know, create this sense of boredom or, you know, declining interest. And if you, sometimes the athletes get injured or mental strain, you know, you kind of get like a mental injury of, you know, just feeling wiped out. So that's when you can really, I think, talk to people like TJ. You can, have a session about that. See, you know, how you're feeling about your workouts and how could we make things different. And
right.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a check-in session to see.
Yeah, see how it's going and see what your, you know, ask them, rate your sort of energy level 1 to 10, rate your enthusiasm level 1 to 10. Rate your motivation, your confidence on a scale of 1 to 10. Ask them, like, maybe where was it, what was your level at the beginning of this year or the beginning of the season, and then what is it now? And if they've dropped down, then you can say, okay, well, let's see. So take a level right now and then say, okay, this is what we can do to improve that. To get, you know, let's see what we can do to get your level back up to where you were in January or something. So, and then there's another sign of seriousness, you know, just kind of the demands of a rigid training schedule, the pressures of competition. If there's several races they're doing, you know, you can lose that element of fun in workouts. And I think that fun factor is really important, you know, to be able to joke around and build more enjoyable periods into your life. Training routine, I think it's really critical. So, you know, just laughing, goofing around is a really good thing. And then another sign of slumps is no pain, no gain. So, you know, a lot of athletes, like you were saying exactly, TJ, continue to train through pain that worsens during a workout, or pain or just mental pain of, you know, kind of a mental strain. And that's a sure road to injury or loss of motivation. And I think athletes can really get in trouble by testing their pain thresholds. You feel like, oh, if I give myself more pain, you know, I'm going to be that much faster. But, you know, a lot of times athletes are afraid to rest, I think, because they're, you know, they have trouble switching gears from being, you know, really on and training hard to being, to relaxing. And I think the great athletes, champions, are able to do both, you know, really turn it on and then turn it off, and, you know when to push hard and when to recover, and know when to train really well and when to relax. So I think that, you know, if you can relax and trust that your body will remember what to do, I think that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other thing is, like, another sign is that, that lack of self-esteem or lack of self-confidence, the kind of self-inflicted wounds where you condemn yourself for failures or setbacks and mistakes rather than realizing that they're inevitable and they may make for really good opportunities for learning. So it's good to you know, just talk about that, how their self-esteem is right now. Yeah, did someone else just join us?
Yeah, Brett Manning from Colorado.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
Doing well, Joey. How are you?
Oh, good. Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, good to hear your voice. Yeah, we're just talking about slumps and all. We got Amy Haller on the line and TJ Ford. And,
cool.
Yeah. So I was talking about the signs of slumps and what to kind of watch out for. The last one there I was thinking of is avoidance. You know, you become overly anxious about meeting a goal, and it might be lead to subconsciously wanting out, you know, when you kind of, you know, it can get really bad where an athlete feels like, well, if I'm sick or I'm injured, then I don't have to face the pressures of a real competition, and they kind of look for a way out. So that's a really serious sign, too, of entering into a slump. So, yeah, those are some signs that TJ was asking about. Brett, since you're there, you want to check in and let us know, what are you doing? Do you have questions or any success or progress you're making?
Let's see. I have a lot going on. I'm currently going to, I'm starting up and head coach of my own summer college team. That's going to be kicking off in a couple of weeks, baseball team.
You're a head coach?
Head coach of that.
That's great.
That'll be exciting. And working on creating a consulting, or sports psychology consulting business with the pitching coach at Air Force, hoping to launch in the fall with him and just kind of, you know, work on probably start out in the baseball realm because that's what we both know, but going out and working with teams in team setting, but then also creating a follow-up program for individuals to continue working with the content. And just kind of doing a bunch of my own informational interviewing with top endurance sport athletes. I live in Boulder, Colorado, which is a mecca for that. So I'm just kind of reaching through contacts just to see what kind of informational interviewing I can get done, just picking their minds on tactics they've used that work and don't work and struggles that they've had and how they've gotten through them, and just kind of building my content of stories and information to be able to use when I, you know, want to, or when I finish my degree and want to start working with some endurance athletes. So.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So creating a sports psychology consulting business, you said, with someone else?
Yeah. So it should be interesting.
Yeah. So you do it with some, having an office there or just doing it out of your home or?
Originally it would start out of our home, but my vision of it is we would start it together. And then are you familiar with the Positive Coaching Alliance?
Yeah, I've heard of that. At Stanford or is it all over?
Stanford is where they started, yep.
Yeah.
But I consult for them where they pay me to go on and put on their workshops. Like they've got a, you know, PowerPoint decks for different topics, either working with coaches, parents, or the athletes themselves. So they pay me to go out and put on the workshop.
Great.
And make money off of me doing that for them. So what we're trying to do is create what they've created, where eventually we'll have all of our content and PowerPoints and everything done, and we just, you know, hire consultants to go out and put on the workshops for us and really create some expansion and be able to scale it that way. So. That's kind of in the works right now.
Oh, great. Yeah. And who would you give the talks for, the workshops?
Eventually we'd like to reach out to all sorts of different sports and maybe even dabble into the business world or the performing arts realm. But starting out, probably just target collegiate and high school baseball teams and I've got a big passion for working with youth, so, you know, a lot of youth club teams in that realm as well, so. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, thanks for checking in. Yeah. Did you have any questions about athletes getting through slumps or any stories about that?
Just, you know, I know you talked about ways to define or to things to look out for.
Uh-huh.
What do you have in the works of getting through them and tactics, you know, whether it's reliving past moments or visualizing past successes or visualizing future successes, getting them in the present moment so that they're not worried, because, you know, they say the only place worry exists is either in the future or in the past, but in the present, no worry exists. So just tactics to get athletes in that spot.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, Brett. And I think first it's good to, you know, do, you know, realize once you're caught up in a pattern of obsession or overtraining or stress, you know, stress can easily set in and make you prone to injury or burnout. And after a slump sets in, you have to oftentimes contend with even more stress that interferes with healing and recovery. So if you can ask yourself, you know, different questions like, ask your clients questions like, have I trained
success? Ask your clients to ask themselves.
athletes to ask your athletes these questions, you know. Have I trained too long or too hard in a high-pressure situation? Do I have a progressive sense of loss of enthusiasm and energy or sense of purpose? And does my normally comfortable pace feel difficult? Do I feel locked into a routine? Do my legs feel heavy or fatigued longer? Those are some of the signs. Also, like TJ, you're asking about signs. Here's some other ones that you want to ask your clients about. You know, do I dread the thought of training? Am I becoming more cynical or difficult to get out of bed in the morning? Is my appetite low or above normal? Sometimes people eat less or they eat more. Do I have excessive weight gain or loss? Do I feel mentally fatigued or irritable? Do I have physical distress or minor body pain, headaches, or sleep problems? Physical emotion or emotional exhaustion, or am I becoming sullen? Yeah, this is depressing to think about all these things. but you know, just asking those kind of questions. Do I have diminished belief I'll be successful, or do I have an angry, negative attitude? Am I more susceptible to colds or flu? Shortness of breath. You know, resting heart rate. You could take their heart rate too to see if it's resting heart rate. If it's is higher than usual,
yeah,
or do I have frequent minor accidents? So those are a lot of the signs of going into a risk for a slump or going into a slump. And then I think that you know, some of the ideas for strategies for being able to get out of a slump are, you know, things like you know, building your own internal rewards or intrinsic rewards. So I think, you know, a lot of times people look for, you know, external rewards only, like you know, getting a good time in a in their training or race, or winning their age group or getting a medal or something. And those are the external rewards, but sometimes they're not always forthcoming. So if you can develop a sense of kind of internal value and meaning for your training, you know, things, you know, give yourself internal rewards when the external ones aren't forthcoming. Build a self-confidence, you know. And one of the things you can do is like the power words that we've talked about, you know, being able to say to yourself, you know, I'm doing a good job every day, or I'm doing the best I can every day.
Positive self-talk.
Yeah, positive self-statements and thoughts, and to be able to repeat those twice to themselves. And, you know, you could make them an MP3 with those kind of visualizations. You could have them talk about their strengths as a person, as an athlete, and then, you know, go over those strengths and turn those into an MP3 where you just repeat each one and just notice the, you know, exhilaration that's created by your body. you know, endorphin production and sense of total health and well-being, you know, when you are training, and, you know, just the enjoyment of training itself, you know, be able to develop that positive image from building a stronger, you know, internal sense of yourself, and noticing, you know, just notice the psychological benefits of working out, you know, just being, you know, stress reduction, improved concentration, greater self-worth, and, you know, have an athlete, like, list, you know, the kind of a list of benefits of, you know, what, say, what attracted you to your sport in the first place, and why were you, you know, attracted to it, and then, you know, try to, you know, kind of like when they first got started, how did they fall in love with their sport, and all, and get them back to that place. What, you know, if you can ask an athlete that and ask them to talk about that, you can really get them back to a wonderful place in time where they felt really good. And so then you can create an MP3 around that. That's kind of strong attraction to the sport and how fun it was and enjoyable and what it is about the sport that they really enjoy. And chances are they still, you know, those are still factors now that they are attracted to, but they just have forgotten about them. And it's just got the, so get them back to that fun factor. Ask them, you know, what's fun about your sport and what do you enjoy about it? You know, if it's outside, like running, you know, you can run on the trails and, you know, notice the birds singing and the water or the fresh air, or, you know, all of that. And then another intrinsic reward is just that sense of gratefulness. I think that, you know, just gratefulness that you can do your sport. You know, like baseball, you were saying, if they're really into that, you know, just, you know, we take it for granted that we can move around and that we can do these things, but... you know, baseball, you know, any sport, you just have to, I think, you know, if you can have that sort of attitude of gratitude, and it's a wonderful place to come from. So it's great to be able to, you know, have that sense of, you know, being kind of thankful for where you're at. Like, you know, the other day I was feeling kind of worn out from a lot of stuff I have to do, and I just was walking, and I realized, you know, just a year and a half ago I was in that bicycle accident, and I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't do anything. I was on crutches and couldn't walk, couldn't swim, couldn't run, couldn't bike, and so I just thought of that simple thing of, my gosh, I'm so glad, grateful I can just walk now, okay, and I can move around, and it kind of got me out of that space of, you know, complaining. about other things, you know what I mean? So, yeah, so that's one thing you can do, a technique to, like you were asking, Brett, about how to, techniques to stay motivated and get out of a slump. One is that seeking intrinsic rewards. And another one is, yeah, just building in variety. You know, we usually train with just a certain number of fixed workouts, and, you know, every Wednesday is a certain, like with runners, every Wednesday is a track workout, and every Sunday is a long run or some same course. And, you know, a lot of times athletes are starving for change in your routine, and so any kind of variation is bound to create more motivation and interest. So you want to try to change one. See, ask them, your athletes, to try to change one element of your training each week. You know, go to a scenic trail or park once a week, or, you know, with baseball, maybe they can try a different routine, try a different technique. You know, yeah, alternate the hard and easy days rather than going the same pace every day. And try exercising at different times during the day. And you know, discover the period when you have the most energy and put new spark into your schedule. Incorporate different kinds of training. So, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do. If you have a coach, you know, you're going to be coaching athletes, right, you said? Or you are coaching them now?
Yep, I am now.
Yeah, so, you know, you can think of how could I make the workouts, you know, more interesting and create new types of workouts for people. you know, like with running, you could do interval work, you could do tempo, faster workouts, you could do fartlek training, hilly workouts, yep. endurance work, and you could take a day off, do a cross training with a different sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in
go play ultimate for a day.
What's that?
Go play ultimate frisbee for a day.
Ultimate frisbee, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, you know, and all that stuff is really good, and that's kind of like run-of-the-mill ways to create gratitude and kind of disconnect or disassociate yourself from the struggle.
Uh-huh.
You know, but so here's, so I think in endurance sports it's difficult because, or I mean, it's easier to do that because the races or the competitions are so spread out, but B, it's more stable than other sports. So, you know, for instance, in baseball, you could go 4 for 4, you know, one night, and the next night you're 0 for 3. And so it's very volatile.
Uh-huh.
And that's what leads to the slumps. So another thing that I kind of wanted to ask you and pick your brain on was, in my opinion, slumps are created by a decrease of self-efficacy,
uh-huh.
of, you know, the true belief that you can succeed. So I used to ask my athletes, I said, okay, so what comes first, confidence or results? And almost inherently everyone says, well, it makes sense that confidence would become or would need to come first. Well, in reality, I've kind of changed my thinking that, you know what, and based off of my studies of self-efficacy, you need past results to create confidence or self-efficacy. So when the results aren't there, what techniques have you used in the past to create this almost false sense of self-efficacy?
Okay. I think that, it's a great question.
Like when results aren't there, or, you know, you can tell an endurance athlete, you know, go just believe that you can run, you know, say, if an athlete's trying to hit a PR of 20 minutes, you know, just believe you can do it. Well, if they've never done it before, or if the past races, it's been, you know, 20:55 or 20:34, and they just feel like they can't get to that threshold, how can they believe they can actually do it?
Yeah, I think one technique is, one strategy is baby steps, you know. If you can,
mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we set goals that are too high or much too far from where we are, and we think, oh, this isn't doable, and so, you know, people get discouraged. But if you could take, just take an example of a runner, you know, saying, I don't know if I can make it do this pace for 3 miles. They're concerned about that, and I would say, just try the last half mile, last quarter mile or something. Try picking up the pace right toward the end,
mm-hmm.
and then you get, they realize, oh, okay, I can go this faster pace just for this last quarter mile and make my goal. And then I say, okay, now that's, so you've got that, so they got a tiny little result, and so they feel a little bit more confidence. Like you say, confidence and results goes together. So then I would say now start from, you know, from the ending point, yeah, back now next time you do a 3 mile run to pick it up just with a half mile to go.
Yeah.
Toward the end, so that they feel like, okay, if that's just a tiny bit out of their comfort zone, so they can try doing that and it'll be okay.
That's good. Yeah. Any other ideas?
So, yeah, and I would say just, of course, the technique of visualization, positive images is really important. I think what we see in our mind is so powerful, and if you can see yourself doing a tiny step first, you know, see yourself doing what you want to be doing. Most of the time we're seeing these really negative images and reinforcing those over and over in our mind, so if you can ask your athletes, well, what kind of images are you seeing in your mind? What pictures are you creating? Find out what those are, and then ask them, well, what's the opposite of that? So what do you want to be seeing?
Yeah.
and be able to just, you know, just go for it and try then see if they can see a really positive picture in their mind of what it is they want to achieve. And it could be, and just make it something really small, you know, something really a small step toward their goal. And if they could see that really small part, then try to, you know, integrate that with actual training and see, okay, now you've seen that in your mind, let's practice it over and over in your mind, and then let's go do it. So that's another technique, kind of thing of the positive images, and then I'd say just being able to feel, you know, I was just going to say, you know, creating ways to, well, just, you know, it back to kind of getting back to slumps and you know, getting, being able to make it through that. You want to be able to have your athletes take a little, take breaks too, and so that they're, you know, and there's all different kinds of breaks, short breaks, medium breaks, long breaks to, you know, if they feel like they're not getting the results they want, you know, if you can take a little break, like, well, a lot of times that's all that's necessary to maintain your motivation. And you can try taking one day break from, you know, each week, or take 3 days a month, or take a week break after a major phase in your training. Try doing a different sport, and then come back, and a lot of times the confidence will return. All of a sudden they get more results because their body is more rested, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can build that, build the confidence back up. I think, you know, a lot of times it's good to just have them be aware of the words they're using, too. You know, a lot of times they're saying, oh, I can't do this, or this is too difficult, or it's too, you know, I'll never be able to, I'm never going to be able to get faster. But if you can have them turn those words around and say, let's talk about what, if you could, you know, achieve your goal, what would that look like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, just create a kind of a picture in your mind of what it is. You know, I've got a kid right now, a 10-year-old kid I'm working with baseball, since you're talking about baseball. Yeah, he's great. He's in Bakersfield, so I'm doing it all by phone, which is, you know, interesting when you're working with younger kids. It's hard to keep their attention sometimes by phone, but actually, you know, this is probably the youngest client I've had, kid that's been able to work with by phone. But he's really motivated and stuff. But he was saying he, you know, can do his batting in practice really well, but just has trouble in training. In practice, but you know, can't bring it into the game. And so, you know, we worked on him going to the games and saying to himself, okay, this is practice, you know, just changing the words that he was using and changing the way that he pictured it, so that, you know, even though it is the game, just saying this is practice, or this is just like practice, because basically every game is just practice for the next game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So having him say this is practice, and having him get into that mindset of being in practice, how relaxed he is, and I mean, just, guys, amazing. Just within one session, he just had a total turnaround, where he's just going for it and able to hit everything, that every ball that came to him.
Yeah.
So he was that started with the words, you know, actually changing the words that he was saying and picturing him hitting the ball hard and far. Just so it came from within himself to be able to, you know, use those techniques. And then he got a little bit of a result, and then that builds confidence, and then you get more results, and they sort of the two feed into each other, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, so he went on to make the. They were doing the playoffs, a regular season, and then he got to the playoffs and made it to the championships, and yeah, did really well there, and he was like one of the stars, and ended up making the All-Star team. Now, so he has a chance to go to regionals and then state and then nationals and I guess world little league. Pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, does that help a little bit?
Yeah, those are good. I think the biggest takeaway for me was, you know, setting the small manageable goals, and you know, especially with endurance athletes, but you know, I think with more team sports, you know, maybe set the next practice at a small manageable goal, and just once they're achieving those small little ones, that is the snowball effect for feeling confident again.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Right.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Well, thanks for a great question, too. Yeah, Brett, that's really good. Yeah, just to be able to, I think it's a great thing, you know, having confidence and having results and kind of going back and forth, building those together. So, yeah. What else? Do other people have any other questions or other thoughts that come to mind? TJ or Amy or anyone else that's there? I just wanted to talk a little bit, too, about, you know, the aspects of, well, stopping and then restarting a program. Like, a lot of people have to take a break, you know, due to injury or mental fatigue or other things in their life. And so, or they have to just kind of slow down a little bit. And so here's some steps. I want to give you steps to kind of ensure your progress. One is to, you know, just be honest with yourself. You know, not do just wishful thinking, but write down exactly where you are right now and your current mileage or training pace or your practice, whatever you're doing. And that way you have a definite starting point. You can say, okay, here's what I'm doing today. And then you can progress from there. So not trying to compare yourself from, you know, past workouts or where you used to be, but just saying, here's where I am today. And do a full assessment, you know, of the other commitments in your life that require your time and energy and, you know, like your work or a longer commute or a job, whatever it is, and then decide how much time you have to devote to your training. You know, workout, stretch, cross-training, travel time. And so just be honest with where you are now and then say, okay, here's my goal. You know, when I had my bike accident a year and a half ago, I mean, all I could do was just, you know, 5 minutes of tiny floor exercises, just stomach crunches, because I had broken my hip and I was, you know, on crutches. And that's all I could do is just little stomach crunches and a couple of, you know, tiny little leg exercises or foot circles, that kind of thing. That's what I was limited to. It was really, devastating for an athlete. And I think how far I came. So I was having to be honest with myself, okay, this is all I could do right now is 5 minutes of tiny little, you know, floor exercises that don't aggravate the hip. And then I, you know, progressed from there and just said, okay, now I'll do more work, you know, more workouts and or just, you know, progress to being able to do a little bit more on the floor and then relax and then just get into, you know, more, you know, being able to walk after a while, just learning how to, relearning how to walk again. So it was really a step-by-step process. So another thing you can do, you know, when you're stopping a program and then restarting again is taking the pressure off, you know, not to force yourself or physical improvement, but lighten up on your, you know, the training schedule and, you know, just train according to how you feel each day and take out the strict deadlines and competition and, you know, let your next breakthrough happen naturally at its own pace when the conditions are right. And then you want to use setbacks as opportunities. So, well, first, set realistic goals, you know, like Brett, you were talking about, you know, set small goals. So don't consider, like, competing till you're reasonably fit. A lot of people try to come back too soon. That's one of the most common, you know, issues with athletes. And after they've been injured, and they say, okay, I want to do this race in 3 months, and they've got that set in stone, and so they kind of force their training to fit into that. But what you want to do is not think about a competition until you're fit. You know, that it takes people different periods of time depending on who you are. So choose an event perhaps, you know, 4 or 6 months after you've begun training, and competitions, they can be discouraging if you jump in too soon and aren't fully confident or ready. So just chart your progress in training and note every small step. And yeah, give yourself gold stars in your logbook for those stellar achievements. And you know, I think it's great to go down to the store and just buy yourself a bunch of gold stars. And if you have a logbook or something, you know, put them in there just like we did when we were kids to reward yourself. So, yeah, and then you want to get connected, you know, get into a network of close friends and family and or, you know, training group, join a whatever works to, you know, try to work out with people of similar ability. And the energy of other people is really contagious, so... Yeah, avoid so that you're not thinking so much about, you know, your level and all that, but just, you know, you can kind of mix it up with other people. It just is really, really great for you. So, yeah, and then just avoid comparisons. Like you're looking back and, oh, man, I used to be so much faster, so much better, so much stronger. Just, you know, try to set your own personal records for each, you know, each season, just a small record. You know, for that season, not for your whole life, you know, not looking for a lifetime personal record, but just for that period of time, you know, from you set a record for, you know, I can run this fast within, you know, this month or whatever, and not looking back on where you used to be. So you want to kind of start fresh and shoot for those best possible performances you can do this year or this month, you know, or that whenever you feel up to it. So, you know, try different courses and speeds. Just be grateful. And then the other thing is be grateful and enjoy the moment. You know, take each day that you're able to work out as a victory, and regardless of the pace, and, you know, make a deliberate effort each day to create enjoyment in your sport and renew your enthusiasm and excitement. And just do the best you can with the level that you are today. And that's, I think that's the challenge to, you know, create that balance, healthy balance program. You know, with enough, you want, as your coach, you, all of us are coaches as well as athletes. So, you know, with your athletes, you want to create that balance program with, create enough variety to keep the motivation high and the boredom low. So, you know, and you can ask people too, ask your athletes for feedback, you know, what would you like to do that's different, or is there enough variety here in the workouts? So discover that point of pushing just hard enough without going over the edge in training and in other areas of life. So, yeah, just try to put those techniques to work, and then I think your athletes are going to be able to train better. So, yeah, so just wanted to ask you, let's see, our next call will be on the June the 13th, and so on that Thursday, so that would be great to have all of you join us then, and maybe we could just check in right now, whoever's there, what, you know, any little nuggets or what takeaways that you have for today that were helpful for you. You can kind of go around and share if anyone that's left on the call. What was most helpful for you?
Hi, Amy.
What's up?
Say, hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Amy.
Hi. I was just going to say that I think it is important for...
Can you speak up a little bit? It's hard to hear.
Oh, okay, sure. I was going to say I think it is important for our clients and... our, oh, wait a minute. There. Is that better?
That's much better, yeah.
Yeah. My microphone was up. For our clients and for us, as athletes, to just have that sense of appreciation of just being healthy and being able to do what we set out to do, and to, you know, take the baby steps and set small goals for ourselves, and to notice, you know, our progress and acknowledge that as a win for ourselves. I think that that's a good approach.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sometimes it's just, you know, getting out the door, just the fact that you got out the door and did something is a good thing, and you know, feel good about that. So I like that. Yeah, yeah, the word appreciation is really good. being, you know, just grateful for all that you can do and thinking it could be so much worse.
Right, that we can do as opposed to what we can't do.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Jamie. Go ahead.
I liked the hypothetical self-talk. If you could do that, what would you be saying? What would you be thinking? What would you be seeing? You know, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people get caught up in reality and forget about the power of possibility, you know, and that taps into that. So I like that thought.
Yeah, right. A lot of people, would you say get caught up in what?
You get caught up in reality and dismiss the power of possibility.
Uh-huh.
And I think asking yourself, well, if you could, then you're tapping into that power of possibility.
Right, exactly, yeah. And, yeah, what if you could, do this goal? What would that look like, kind of thing? What would that feel like? What would it sound like? And if you can get that picture in your mind, it's kind
of
like pretending, that it's already happening, or acting as if it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get that in your mind, then, everything will be, you know, run smoothly and all. Because we usually are thinking of the worst possible outcome, but if you can think of what's the best possible outcome to this, then, you know, chances are you're going to, you know, give yourself give yourself that kind of energy, move in that direction. If you just get your mind there.
Kind of like Jack Canfield's act as if exercise, you know.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah, act as if it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
Fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. Is it TJ? I don't know if TJ's still there. She usually has to leave on the hour. I think I heard a dink, her leaving. So, great. Well, thank you so much. Amy and Brad and TJ and others, I think it's others on the call, they're just muted, for joining us. It's great. If you have questions, you can always email me. And this call will be up in the members area shortly here. And then, just put on your calendars for the next time, June the 13th. Yeah, it'll be almost summer solstice here. It's great that the days are getting longer. So, all right, thank you, everyone. Thanks for joining us,
Thanks.
And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Enjoy the day.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.